I had this flash of an email I got from Diana Trott this morning, who said she would not be on the call. And Diana is the one who always reminds me to put this on record when I forget to. So it's great. We're here together tonight for our Tuesday night celebration of life. Welcome, everybody. We're going to be taking on quality number 3 of an intentional creator, which is physical creation. So we're going to talk about how to take those dreams, our ideas, and actually turn them into something tangible, as we say, real money and a real bank account with which we can buy a real couch. I mentioned a moment ago, and I'll put on the recording now, that Tammy Collins is here with her husband, Greg. They've been guests at our home the last couple of days, and we leave tomorrow with the coaches who are becoming authors and speakers. They're going to be writing the new book on agape love. Very excited. We're going to be at the cabin for the next 3 days, learning about the assessment and how to become speakers. Very exciting. I share that with you for lots of reasons. If anybody that's on the call wants to become an Og Mandino coach, it's important that you let me know, because beginning of the next year, 2014, we'll start work on the next book, which is on scroll number 3, I'll persist until I succeed. That's going to be a fun project as well. This is the favorite scroll, scroll 2. I'll greet this day with love in my heart. Well, everybody pull out your pens and your paper, and let's go to work on understanding the measurements in physical creation and then the principles that apply to this area of creating an intentional life. I want you to turn to your assessments. On the left-hand side in the middle section, that's physical creation. These are the thought processes we have about completing tasks. When we're actually doing something, the very first measurement is called passionate. Passion is a 14th century word. It comes from the passion plays of Christ in Europe. Passion meaning a willingness to suffer for something that we love. Just take a look at that measurement. If it's orange or red, it just suggests that you might be experiencing some emotional or physical fatigue, just a little bit of exhaustion. It's generally not the cause, it's a symptom. And it's generally caused by something over on the right-hand side of your assessment, and generally down in mental creation. Just take a look at that bottom right-hand side of self-direction. Is there a lot of obligation, pragmatic, a lot of overwhelm? If you look up with joy in the journey, second measurement down is persistent orange. Is there a lot of focus on needing to generate money and generate money quickly? All those kinds of thought processes can be terribly exhausting, and it's a little bit like strapping a backpack on our back full of bricks and carrying it through the day. So take a look at that passionate measurement. This is an extremely important measurement in the assessment. If we took the measurements here on the left-hand side and we put them in their order, in their mathematical order, passion would be number 2. It's the second most important measurement. 1 is empathetic. We see the value in a person. 2, we love what we're doing. We have passion for it, excitement. Well, the second measurement is called productive. The question is, do we know what needs to be done and how to do it? Do we have good common sense around getting the task completed? When we see this measurement turn orange, it can go in one of two directions. One, we're just not finding very much joy or excitement in what we're doing. The most common direction is we're starting to get a little impatient. We'll talk about this as we get deeper into the principles tonight. We just want it done. We want it done now. We want it done right. Good grief, do I have to do everything myself to get it done? And the most fun of all, can you imagine what we can accomplish if we didn't have to involve people? Just, this is all about getting it done. There isn't any part of this thought process that has anything to do with people. It's just getting the task done. But the truth is this, almost everything we do requires people. So getting the task done involves us getting our empathetic measurements into alignment and bringing that to the task. We can only get it done as fast as the people are capable of doing it. So we focus on lifting and building the people, and the task gets done quicker. Part of that impatience can be born out of a vivid visualization. We've seen it so clearly in our minds. Now we just want it to be done. And this is where we spend our time living present in the now, actually doing the work of creation. Next measurement is organized. We're going to do something. Can we see the importance in our thought processes? Do they support us in doing something in an organized way? Or do we want to have things a little bit more flexible, a little bit more spontaneous? Or are we so committed to doing something a certain way, such as the way the toothpaste gets squeezed, or the way a towel gets folded, or the way in which a product gets built? Are we so locked into the way that we crush people? Just take a look at that measurement, organized. Can you feel this? Am I excited about what I do? And what does that do to impact my willingness to do the work? Productive, do I know what needs to be done? Have I got good common sense? And am I going to do it in an organized way? And then we move to compliant. Can we see the importance of following the rules when we're doing something so that we don't get in trouble? Now, some of us are a little resistant to that. You know, someone says, you can't do it that way. It's against the rules. And we go, so what? That's the best way to do it. We go do it anyway. Just take a look at that measurement compliant. If it's orange, sometimes it can be red, but if it's orange, just know that we run a risk of wanting to do something so badly our way, we actually could make some serious mistakes. So be careful. This is the jet pilot who's in the aircraft, and it's built to go Mach 1, and he decides to fly at Mach 2 just to see if it can be done, and it flames out, and there's a terrible accident, or he blows up a $35 million airplane. We want to be careful not to push the boundaries too far, because those boundaries are there for a reason. That's compliant. Then proactive. This is when we're facing a task that we don't want to do. Can we take it on and get it done anyway? Or do we go into procrastination? Or do we go into frustration? Like there's a typo in the brochure, so I can't use the brochure. I can't show it to anybody. I'd be terribly embarrassed, as if they might find it. Proactive. How are we responding when things get in the way of us doing what we want to do? So we're doing something and a thing gets in the way, a typo or a task that's difficult. How do we respond? Does it paralyze us? And lastly, protective. We're going to spend time building like a business. Will we protect it? Or we invest all this time in getting it to a certain level and then let it fall apart? Will we spend all kinds of time earning money to buy a car and then not maintain it? It's so important that we do not let the things we build prematurely fall apart because of our lack of focus. So just take a look. These are just thought processes. But when we're out doing the tasks every day, we can get tired, and these thought processes, when they're orange and red, can start popping up and impacting our productivity. So just take a look at those and see if there's anything that's getting in the way, because I'm going to share with you some principles tonight to help address some of these issues. Let's start with passionate. One of the great challenges, both in passion and productive, came in our last discussion. We talked week before last about the destructive ways in which we can use our vivid visualization. We engage in fantasy, we engage in catastrophe, but primarily fantasy, where we go into the future and we imagine what it'll be like when we get there. Now, that could be actually goal setting if we come back now and take the steps to get there. But in fantasy, we assume we've reached that level, and then we start to live beyond it. We start to imagine what it'll be like. And we've talked at length about the physiological impact that can have on our body. It starts to wear us out. It distracts us from being present in the now. This is the place where we do the work of creation. This is the place where we touch the timeline of our life. This is the here and the now. And if we spend a lot of time in our mind, in fantasy, it's very painful to be here. If we spend time in our mind getting clearer, and then our objective is to be in the present, taking the actions necessary to create, we won't be exhausted. We'll actually be passionate. We'll be excited. So we know that this particular area of our assessment is dramatically impacted by how we're using our mind in mental creation. We can't create our dreams in our mind. We can create an inspired idea that ignites passion, and then we come into physical creation and we actually create it. But we're going to want to be passion-driven, because if we're not, it's going to be boring and mundane and repetitious and just too hard. So let us go back, and if you've got any challenges with that fantasy catastrophe, go back to last week. Last week we talked about the five constructive ways of using your mind. Keep practicing those ways of using your mind to get the inspired ideas. To stay present, we practice a principle called power sessions. Now, I know some are going to go, oh, Dave, we've been through this before. We've talked about power sessions numerous times. And I say, yes, great principle. I had a great coach that once said to me that to learn and not do is to not learn. So may I, as your coach tonight, I want to inspire you. That means to breathe life into you. But I want to encourage you to finally take this action. Because the truth is, we will never realize our dreams until we're living more present in the now than we are in our heads. Because this is where creation happens. This is all in linear time. Tick, 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 tick. It is incredibly slow in comparison to our mind. I want to say that to you again. It's incredibly slow in comparison to our mind. But we have to remember that that's just our mind. It's not reality. It's not where we do the work of creation. This is where the work is done. And sometimes it's painful to spend time here. It's not our favorite place to be. And I've shared with you very honestly that this was my great challenge. Because I've got a very active and vivid mind, and if I'm not careful, I could spend a lot of time there. Coming here was really difficult. And I can still remember sitting in my living room, 2003. I was in a reddish-looking chair looking north in my living room of our previous home. I still remember vividly. I was very concerned, because I was going to take this on. And I just want to put yourselves in that chair tonight, if you would. Just go, is this one of my challenges? I'm learning to use my mind more constructively. I'm learning to be more clear. I'm learning to step into people's worlds and intrinsically validate. I'm working on these principles. How often are you in your mind? Versus how often you are fully present in the here and now. Well, I want to be fully present with you tonight, right here in this moment. Just be here with me. How hard is it for you to be here? How scary is the prospect of making this your primary residence? And your mind, your vacation home. For most of us, this is a dramatic shift in focus. It was for me. And I still remember, how do I do this? I want to review with you tonight what I did and invite you, if not this, because what I did isn't as important as facing this reality and saying, I want to spend more time here. because this is where you create your dreams. This is where I create my dreams. How can I find more joy and excitement about being here? I don't believe in 2003 I had the concept of mental creation clearly defined. That came around 2008. But I did a very natural mental rehearsal. So mental rehearsal was to go to the next day, the next morning. It's Tuesday night, so it'd be Wednesday morning. Let's go to Wednesday morning. Let's take a look at your day. It's in your mind. This is a very healthy thing to do with your mind. We're present in our mind, looking at the next day. What time are we going to get up? Are we going to get up when we wake up? Now, Tammy, you're on vacation, so you need to get up when you wake up. That's what you do on vacation. But for the rest of us, if it's a work day, what time are we going to get up? We can keep hitting the snooze button until we're in crisis mode? Or we can get up an hour before we need to. Go for a walk. Ponder, meditate. Some of the most precious time in the day when our mind is clear and all of our short-term memory is kind of defragged. You know, it's all put back in its place and our mind is just clear and we've got great perspective on life. Just a vision. What time are you going to get up tomorrow? What's the first thing you're going to do? When Og says, I will command and I will obey my own command. What are you going to do tomorrow? Your choice. What's really important on your calendar tomorrow? And if there isn't anything, what should be important that you might have been putting off, procrastinating? What should be on this calendar? Go for a minute with me to tomorrow night. You're just getting ready to climb into bed. And if you're a praying person, maybe say your prayers. Or you just climb in bed and put your head on the pillow and you just look up and you just got a moment, just a moment. How do you want to reflect on that day? What will you have intentionally created that you can look back and just smile and say, wow, that day mattered. I made it count. I was in this kind of a space, sitting in that chair, reflecting on my next day. And that's when this idea was born. I was waking up in the morning and having a little devotion. And very simply saying, what's the most important things I have in my day? What could I do to start out the day? And I saw myself reading scroll number 5. I'll live this day as if it is my last. Now, I love that scroll. I've shared before that, you know, when you have a dear friend that passes away, and you listen to Og speak, and then you realize he's not here either. Og's not here. He's gone too. It's quite humbling to hear those words when he says this. This day is all I have. And these hours are now my eternity. I greet the sunrise with cries of joy as a prisoner is reprieved from death. I lift mine arms with thanks for this priceless gift of a new day. So too will I beat upon my heart with gratitude as I consider all who greeted yesterday's sunrise who are no longer with the living today. I am indeed a fortunate man. Today's hours are but a bonus, undeserved. Why have I been allowed to live this extra day when others, far better than I, have departed? Is it that they have accomplished their purpose while mine is yet to be achieved? Is this another opportunity for me to become the man I know I can be? Is there a purpose in nature? Is this my day to excel? I'll just live this day as if it is my last. I'll let one drop spill upon the sand. I'll spend one morning, one-minute morning, yesterday's aches of the heart, yesterday's defeats, why should I throw good after bad? I'm not going to allow myself to be tormented by things that may never come to pass. I'm going to live fully present. Because we're either lamenting the past or worrying about the future or fantasizing about the future. I'm going to spend this day present in the now. I'm going to live this day as if it's my last. Not because if I die tomorrow, this is my last day. Og really goes on to explain that this is the last time we get this day. It dies. 12 my night tonight, September 10th, 2013, is gone forever. What do we do with it? That's the space. So you read that scroll, because if you read scroll 5 in the morning, like that, and you're making this commitment to make every minute count today, you're on the right path. Now, in that mind frame, or mindset, that frame of mind, I saw myself writing down three really important things. What are the most important things I need to do today? Just do that with me right now. Thinking about tomorrow. What are the three most important things on your schedule tomorrow? And is one of them related to friends or family? Like dinner tomorrow night. Just write them down. The next thing I saw myself doing was pondering what I should do in that event. Now, I still practice this. I'll tell you that doing this three times a day can be trying at first, but eventually you'll want to live this way. But I remember this morning sitting on the massage chair after having taken a walk, dealing with a challenge that a client was facing that was just insurmountable. Insurmountable. And stepping into that person's world, trying to see the situation through their eyes and getting a very clear idea. I finished on the chair. I didn't leave early because my back really needed it. I went upstairs, got on the cell phone, and texted a person in California. Still quite early in the morning, but I got a text right back. I sent another text and another text back. Based on that, we had a phone call at 8 o'clock this morning that was on the schedule, but some other people got invited to that phone call so I could share with them what I saw while I was sitting on the chair. That caused another power session this afternoon, which lasted from 2:30 to 5 o'clock, which is an opportunity to dig deep into how to handle this problem, and it has been solved today. I kind of had a vision this morning. Wouldn't it be interesting if we all went to bed tonight with this problem solved? And it's solved. I mean, it's huge. That's power sessions. It's not about the routine of it. It's not about the system of it. It's about having a day that's meaningful, that you create something that you would not have had if you weren't this intentional. That's the purpose of this whole process. So back in 2003, I'm seeing myself prepare for the event, the power session. Power session meaning you're bringing all of your power to this block of time. Your desire to step into someone's world. Your willingness to use your mind constructively. Your willingness to let go of the need to be right. To listen and focus and find the good in people's ideas. That's the power you're bringing. This isn't a circus. It's not something elaborate. It's just you. You're choosing to show up, mind and body, in that moment. And then I saw myself executing that event. Then about midday, I could feel a need for a refresher to raise my awareness back up because a morning can exhaust us. And if we get exhausted, we will stop focusing. And so I saw myself reading scroll number 9. I will act now. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action, for only action determines my value in the marketplace. I hunger for success. I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. I will command and I'll obey my own command. My favorite sentence in all the scrolls. I could feel it. I will act now. You read that scroll at noon, I can tell you there'll be something that'll happen during the course of the afternoon, and you'll go to do it, then you'll go to procrastinate and not do it, and your mind will say, act now. You'll do it, and you'll feel great about having it done. You want to have this kind of energy present to execute on the second and the third power session. At the end of the day, it was kind of funny at the time. Since then, it's been proven to be true that things don't always turn out the way you hope. Today was marvelous, but it doesn't always turn out that way. And sometimes there are people that offend us. This thought process that happened at early this morning was precipitated by a really unpleasant email yesterday that requires scroll 7 just to get through the evening. I will laugh at the world. This too shall pass. Man is most comical when he can't laugh at himself. It just keeps everything in its proper perspective. So I saw myself reading scroll 7. I smile when I think about it. And then a journal. I have a journal that I carry with me. And I would highly recommend that you have one. A journal is something that you write in every day. I left my journal upstairs in the bedroom. A journal is where you write thoughts that occur during the day. If I get a great idea, I want to write it in my journal, or I'll forget it. When I wrote Today, I Begin a New Life, the very first version, the hard drive froze and it wasn't backed up. Like 300 and something pages. And after sending it to the FBI lab in Washington, D.C., and discovering it, the CSI movies are really fake. Because when that hard drive's gone, they don't go recover a whole bunch of stuff from it. It doesn't work that way. I had to write the book, but the book was in my journal. I think the second draft was better than the first. But going back to the journal and just going through the journal entries, because I learned all the principles were there. You want a journal. And this time, what you're going to want to journal is what happened during those power sessions that may not have happened if you weren't fully present. What came out of that? Just write it down, a couple sentences. You want to come back and visit this because you'll find miracles occurring in your life, some immediate. I had one today. It was an immediate miracle by being focused like this. Sometimes it takes a few weeks. You'll meet somebody today. You'll say something to someone today, and it turns something around, and within a few weeks, you've got a miracle on your hands. These power sessions are extremely powerful because when you bring all of you to these moments, you'll say and do things you otherwise would have never said. And it can make all the difference in a relationship, a business deal, etc. So record. Now, I've shared this on a couple of coaching sessions. I do this because my dear friend Tammy here, I think, lives this way. When you live a day like this, and you get to the end of the day, I get down on my knees. And Ramona's there with me. And I'm the voice at night when we pray together. And my favorite moment is when my heart is singing these words and I can say them with such confidence. I have done all that I can do today. middle of a firestorm, you can sleep like a baby. It's being so plugged into the planet that you know there's a power greater than you. It'll do some of your work for you while you sleep. And you feel so connected because you've done all you can do. Not all that could be done, but all that you could do. Now, it's not every day I get to do that, but I treasure the days when that can be said. Now, 2003, I was sitting there reflecting on the next day, and I hadn't done one yet. Next day came on Monday morning. This is a Sunday night. Next Monday morning, and did it. I was excited the first day. I can tell you, before I got to the end of the week, it was really hard to do. Because I got distracted by the structure, the have to of it, the should, the must, the discipline of it. And I'm just a tad bit rebellious, and most of you on the phone are too, resisting structure. I'm going to plead with you this week to take what I've shared with you in terms of power sessions and create your own. I want you to sit in your chair tonight after we get done with this call and just ask yourself, is this one of my challenges? Is this one of mine? This challenge of staying present in the now. How much time do I spend in my mind? And what's it costing me? I want to shift this in my life. What could I do? And use mental rehearsal to get your own inspiration. I would encourage you to have the scrolls be part of that. I find them very helpful for raising my awareness. Having some kind of a plan for the day, I would highly recommend that. Whatever you do, pick some times when you can be fully present in a power session. It's not the number of them that matters. I've had people say, when I say do three a day, can I do more? I say do three first. It's hard to do three. Those of you who tried this know it's hard to do three of them in a day, especially when we start to get into the kind of tension of resistance to the structure. But this week, let us look at them differently. Let us look at them in terms of value that we can create. I want to engage in life. I want to embrace principles. I want to connect and serve and create value and contribute to the world. And the way I can contribute best is when I truly show up. Let me unleash my power. Whether you do that once a day, three times a day, read a scroll, that's just a structure to help support you. What matters is that you are spending some time fully present in the now, unleashing your natural genius. That's the most important piece. So focus on the purpose of and not the structure of. Because if it's the structure of, it's like an exercise program. I'm not a gym rat, so it takes a lot of discipline. I've got to go do something that's fun. I have a walk and talk with Ramona. That makes the walk a whole lot more palatable. Is that the word I'm looking for? Yeah, palatable. I can actually handle that. If I just got up and said, I'm going to go walk this track we do around this neighborhood and up and down the hills, and I'm going to self-determine to go do it, it would be so difficult. But when Ramon and I pop out the front door, and we've only been doing this, by the way, now 12 days in a row, so not including weekends, so I don't want to make you think this is like I'm Superman. I'm just, this is a new thing. How do you do exercise and enjoy it? Power session. We could walk together and talk. Well, Ramon and I do this whole walk, and when I get done, she goes and does the whole thing all again one more time. I don't do that. But you want to do things that are fun. So when you're looking at these power sessions, look at it in terms of what could I create with a child? What could I create with a husband or wife? What could I create with a committed companion? What could I create in a business environment? And be focused on what's possible to create by doing this than just the doing of. because just the doing of is very hard to do. Everybody got this so far? You doing all right, everyone? Because here's the truth. We cannot begin to create our dreams until we start to discipline ourselves to live present to the now. It's a hard truth. So it's not that we have to be in the now. We're going to absolutely want to be here. So start the process this week of disciplining yourself. At first, it's going to be a little difficult. But I can tell you in the last few days, I've had a couple just incredible experiences by choosing to be here that would not have happened any other way. So explore this with me. Now, one more piece for tonight. Many of us procrastinate. And we do because there's a lot of noise going on in our head, and primarily because of shifting out of thinking to doing can be painful. And to say I don't have enough time for that means I don't have enough time to stop thinking long enough to create this opening in my schedule to actually get it done. We procrastinate, which means we put things off. Og says that my procrastination is born of fear. And he said, we've learned that from secret from the depths of every courageous heart. Cor, in French, means heart. Courageous heart. It's almost redundant. Heart of hearts. The depths of the heart. So we go to the depths of the heart of a courageous person, and what we discover in the heart of every one of them is this. They discovered that to conquer fear, they must act without hesitation. And the flutters in their heart will vanish. That's the first thing they learn. Second thing they learned, that only action reduces the line of terror to an ant of equanimity, which is peace of mind. Why do the flutters go away? Why does peace replace the flutter? I pondered this for a long time before I wrote about it, and today I begin a new life. And then it became so logical. I'm putting off. I'm avoiding, because this noise in my head is so loud, I really can't hear the importance of getting the task done. But the closer I come to the deadline, the louder it sounds. Till finally, it's screaming louder than the noise in my head. Has everybody got that? The task is screaming louder. It's urgent. And the noise in my head, the noise in my head might mean, oh, I'm not worthy, I haven't got the ability, I don't believe I can do it, I don't know if I've got the time, whatever is creating that fear, that noise in our head, becomes less than the noise of the task. It becomes that critical. And something happens. We actually shut off the noise in our head. And we, the real us, jumps into the task. And what do we almost always say? What do we say, Tammy? Wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why didn't I do it sooner? Why did I wait so long? Wow. We're surprised. And the task wasn't as difficult or challenging as we thought it was. We get it done, we have this tremendous sense of relief. Accomplishment. It's a wonderful feeling. The reason why the flutters in our heart vanish, and the reason why we turn the lion of terror to an act of equanimity, is because at that instant in our life, we get to meet our own true genius. We're being genuine. We are embracing our genius. We're taking the cover off. We show up, all of us. And it's so magnificent that even we're surprised. Wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? We could be saying, wow, I didn't realize I was so capable. Wow, I didn't realize I was so smart. Wow, I didn't realize I could do that. That's what we're saying. But we could when we shut the noise off. The question tonight is, how long have we been doing this? procrastinate, jump in, surprise. Procrastinate, 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 jump in, surprise. How long have we been playing this game with ourselves? You know, if we can pretend like we don't know how to do something, we're not really accountable for not doing it. Isn't that interesting? But we also rob ourselves of all of our natural ability and the actual creation of our dreams. We get to be right about the fact we can't do it, but we don't get to have what we dream. Let us spend some time this week jumping into those tasks and meeting our genius. And let's make the very first task on our list what we do first thing in the morning. Read Scroll 5 or something like that. Could read Holy Writ. Read the Bible in the morning. Then jump in. And create something magnificent. And tomorrow night, September 11th. Wow, big anniversary, isn't it? September 11th. Whew. Let's go to bed tomorrow night. I've done all that I can do today. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? I told you I had only one more thing to tell you, but I have a third thing to tell you. It just keeps coming to me. I've got to share it with you. This is a true principle. When we fully maximize our own natural gifts, we stop being surprised. We just start using them. We may not have everything that we need to fulfill our life's mission, but I want you all to know that it will be given to you. But we are not given more ability until we fully maximize that which we already have. If we choose to stay in confusion and denial and frustration, why would the giver of this gift ever give us more when we're not showing gratitude for that which we already have? And the way we show gratitude is by maximizing those gifts. You need more? Then maximize what you've got. The reward is you're given more. This is the beautiful thing about being in the present, because that only happens here. People get put on your path who can serve you and who you can serve. That only happens here. Power sessions. We bring all of us to a moment and we say something, do something, we create something. That only happens here. This is where our dreams are created. In our mind, we can see the vision that ignites our passion. But passion is given to us to do this work of creation. Otherwise, what would be required would be boring and mundane, repetitious and hard. So, in closing, when we get done tonight, just pause for a minute and sit in the chair. Just sit there for a minute. How difficult is it for me to be present in the now? Is it time for me to take this one on? Because the sooner I conquer this, the sooner I live my dreams. Well, if you've been on mute, come off for a minute. Has anybody got any questions or comments before we wrap up the session tonight? Hello?
Hi, Dave. This is Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. How are you?
I'm good. I've missed you.
I miss you too.
In the middle of a meeting or somewhere where I can't call in, but tonight I said, all right, I'm doing it.
How can I serve you, Carrie?
I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Ah, you're welcome.
I just wanted to say thank you for the being in the now lesson. I actually had a dream last night that was all focused around being in the now and reminding, it was a very involved dream, but it was from beginning to end, it was reminding me that I've been worrying and thinking about everything that's going to happen or could happen or what will happen if I end up moving and getting my own apartment, which is what I've been thinking about, instead of just being here now and doing what I need to do for that to happen in the future. So this is a perfect lesson for me today.
Wonderful. Isn't it interesting how the dream shows up? Worrying about the future and the lesson shows up in the very night.
Isn't it?
That's kind of fun, isn't it? Not a bit.
No. Oh.
Well, yeah. Carrie, I could feel you on the call tonight. I didn't know it was you. But I want to reemphasize that third point I said. You may need more than you currently have. But the way to get more is to fully maximize what you already have. That may be the answer to a question you may have not even thought to ask. But that just kept coming back and coming back while I was talking tonight, and I finally decided to say it to you, so.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for you.
Thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you.
You'll have to send me an email and tell me about your dream.
I will. I've been thinking about it all day. It's still kind of fuzzy. Sometimes my dreams become real clear during the day, you know, but this one's not, it's not doing that. And I've been thinking about writing it down all day and I haven't done it, so I will do that.
Wonderful. Is there anything else I can do to serve you tonight?
Oh, just make this whole lesson of being in the present easier. Can you do that?
That's like when I sit down to get my hair cut and she says, what would you like me to do? And I said, make me skinny. And she chuckles too. No, I don't. No one gets to make that easy. But mm-hmm. If you'll do what we've said tonight, it can become joyful.
Okay.
It can be joyful, yeah. When you ignite the passion and then you take the action and you create something by the end of the day that you didn't have when you started, that's pretty cool.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to go back and listen to this call again because I missed about the first 10 minutes of it.
Okay, it'll be up first thing in the morning. Nikki will, it'll be right around 10 o'clock Mountain Time.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that we can serve tonight?
Hi, Dave. It's Kat.
Hi, Kat. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm really very grateful that I, too, chose to plug in tonight. This was exactly a topic that I really need to listen to and fully embrace in order to get over my fears. And what keeps coming up for me is trusting myself, and trusting that jumping in and taking the action is the right action. And I do paralyze myself a lot. Procrastination is certainly a part of it. I like what you said, that it is born of fear. And I think there's a lot of fear as I transition into my network marketing career from my current career and being able to jump in and trust myself. That's, I think, one of my biggest challenges.
I got a tingle down my spine. May I read a paragraph to you from scroll number 9? Because there are so many people on the call tonight, Kat, who are going, can I trust myself to take this action? Because if it's the wrong action, will I ever be able to make up for it? And so we get worried about right, wrong action versus just going into action. And this is Scroll 9. Og, this is a, you know, I remember the first time I saw this and got it, because I'd read it so many times. So henceforth, I'll remember the lesson of the firefly who gives off its light only when it's on the wing, only when it's in action. Light is a metaphor for inspiration. Who gets inspiration only when it's in action. In other words, some of the inspiration we're seeking doesn't come before we take the action. We must take the action to get to the inspiration. I will become a firefly, and even in the day, my glow, and the inspiration, will be seen in spite of the sun. Let others be as butterflies who preen their wings, yet depend on the charity of a flower for life. Just imagine the butterfly just waiting for. I will be as the firefly, and my light will brighten the world. Interesting metaphor that we fear the kinds of action or whether we can take the action when it's after the action that we get the inspiration. I wrote a chapter in the book. It was called Jump First, Peace Second. You'll never, ever lose by taking action, no matter what it is you're doing, because it's in the action that all the other clarity can start to come. So be comfortable with the process of taking the action.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for being on the call, Kat. And you're courageous to make that transition. Now you get to be your own boss, right?
Being free.
There you go. That's the ultimate freedom. You get to choose what you eat, what you drive, and the roof under which you sleep. That's ultimate freedom. It's all based on you and what you choose to do. That's awesome. Well, thank you. We have time for one more person. Anybody else that has a comment or a question tonight? I hear somebody coming off of mute. Okay. Well, Carrie and Kat, thank you for your comments tonight. Let's do that. I'm going to say it one last time before we hang up. We get off this call tonight, just sit in your chair for a moment and just ask yourself, has this been one of my big nemesis? Is this a big barrier? Is this that brick wall I keep running into? My resistance of living in the now, the very place where my dreams will be created. And let us start a journey. We don't want to run a marathon in a day or prepare for a marathon in a day. This is going to be a journey of learning to stay present to the now. Do a little bit of time each day, a little bit more and a little bit more till it becomes more and more pleasant. And it will become increasingly present as you get inspired ideas, act on them, and create something you did not have before. That's what will give you the inspiration, the desire to repeat it day after day after day. It will become a glorious place to live, living in the now. Thanks, everyone. Have a great night, and we'll be back with you next Tuesday evening for a celebration of life, because we're going to take on next week discipline and structure. All that resistance, and see if we can find some answers so that we're not in rebellion and resistance and resentment, because those are very destructive thought processes as well. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night. Come off of mute and say good night, if you would, please.
Amen, Dave. Thank you.
Amen. That's a great way to end the call. Thanks, everyone. Good night.